What is up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And on The Stack, we talk about a bunch of comic books that have come out today. We review them right in your ear holes.
I would like to point out this isn't a regular stack. This is a birthday stack.
Oh, that's right.
Birthday stacks. You know it's your birthday and you're gonna do a stack.
Oh, what song is that too? A made up one? Because
no.
Birthday Sack would go with Love Shack, which
no.
I do think.
Yeah, that could work. I was doing birthday sex.
What? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool. Is that an R. Kelly song?
It's funny that the first thing you think of when you think of
me.
No, definitely not.
Yes.
The first thing you think of when you think of me is birthday sex.
Well, guess what we're doing after this stack, buddy?
Wow.
Nice. Another podcast.
Yes, exactly. Let's kick it off with a big issue that is debuting this week from Marvel Comics, X-Men number one. Very excited. This is a new team of characters, superhero team. I think this is going to be pretty valuable, so hang on to this one.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, really excited to see them launching new properties like this. Of course, I'm joking. This
got
is
it. Gotcha. You just got pranked.
Birthday pranks.
Oh my God.
You know it's your birthday. Okay, I'll stop doing that. This is rolling off of House of X and Powers of 10 by Jonathan Hickman. This is Jonathan Hickman and Lanil Yu, I believe is how you pronounce his name.
Yeah.
Focusing in on an actual team of X-Men as they go on missions off of Krakoa, off of the new island nation of Krakoa. This is establishing the new status quo, but focusing in on Pete's favorite character, Scott Summers himself, Cyclops. And it's going to be the same thing for the life of this series.
Oh.
Now, we were pretty in the tank, I think, with the exception perhaps of Pete.
Fully tanked for the for House of X.
House of X, Powers of 10. How are you feeling about X-Men number one?
Should I go first?
Yeah, why don't you hit it up, Pete LePage. Right.
Knock it down before we knock it back up.
Yeah, Pete LePage is about to go fully in the tank for X-Men number one.
Yeah, this blows. So,
Sorry. Could you use our rating system, which is in the tank or in the spank bag?
I don't know what that means. That's really fucked
Both
up.
Both seem pretty positive.
They are. We love everything.
I'm not happy about, Cyclops getting a view. I'm not happy about, Cyclops.
You don't like his real estate?
Yeah. I don't care where he wants to live. I don't want to know about Cyclops' life and now that he's happy.
Now, here's the thing. You don't like Cyclops as a character, but... he's not happy. In this issue, he's like...
Yeah, but this should be a happy moment for him, and he's still a douche.
I'm just saying...
He's conflicted, I would say.
But don't you want to... I don't know.
But his dad, though, is rightfully... his dad is rightfully concerned because he's like, hey, your son, I don't mean to tell you how to live your life, but you sure are doing a lot of douche moves with this whole Krakoa thing. I'm just glad that his dad realizes he's making a huge mistake, and hopefully...
What a succinct breakdown of the dialogue between father and son.
To give you an overview of the plot, Cyclops leads a mission to take down I don't think it's a Sentinel factory necessarily, maybe a Nimrod or Master Bolt factory?
It's Orcus is the big organization, and they're breaking into the Orcus stronghold on Earth, I think the last one.
Right.
And this is the place wherein, I think, House of X5, all the X-Men died.
Right.
The one in space. That was an Orcus, their sort of main headquarters.
So this is reaffirming the main conflict, which is between human/post-human characters and the X-Men on the other side of the conflict. And then most of the second half of the issue is taken over by a family dinner at the Summers Gray House on the moon.
Cool.
Boo.
Yeah. The first part felt, the big difference between this and the previous two series, I think, is pacing. This feels much more like chill, with the characters a little bit, sort of more standard X-Men storytelling.
Yeah, we're watching somebody mess with Wolverine's meat. Don't mess with Wolverine's meat.
So in the first half, we get some great X-Men fighting, establishing Krakoa.
Sorry, Pete was waiting for me to say something about that. Put that in the spag bag.
No, okay,
what you're waiting for?
No.
Good. No one was waiting for you to say that.
He looks right at me.
We do a podcast. At some point, I'm going to look at you guys.
I mean, but you said don't mess with Wolverine's meat. Of course I'm going to say something.
Just never look at Alex, Pete. It seems like you make him say stuff like that when you look at him. So look at the floor or look at your Wolverine tattoo or whatever you want.
It's like looking at the sun.
Yeah. Don't look at the sun. You'll go blind.
Exactly.
Unless you're Donald Trump.
Okay.
Then you get supervision.
he needs supervision. Great.
So you guys really liked how slow this was and how dumb of a mission they were on.
No, it wasn't It wasn't a dumb mission. I just think it's interesting. The pacing is different, and I think that's a good thing. We get to like sort of get into the different takes of the books. We meet some mutants that were being held prisoner, and a post-human who is an interesting looking character.
Yeah, this is a black and white character, and so far we haven't had any black and white characters from Hickman's run on X-Men, which we know is his favorite thing
to do.
He
loves that.
He loves it.
Yeah.
A black and white character coming out spreading nonsense language, seemingly all powerful.
Yeah, fully an inverse. Yeah,
yes, classic Hickman trope. I was actually a little bummed to get to that, to be honest, because I was like, "Oh man,
didn't
all
we
right.
do this with Black Swan?" Was that
Black
her name?
Swan with East of West with various other characters? Yeah. I think some of the stuff with the Builders as well had it. But the rest of the issue, I liked. I liked the action in it. I thought it was good. There's great. He's better with some characters than others, I think.
Cyclops.
Hickman. He's very good with Magneto. I like his Magneto a lot.
And it's interesting that Magneto is sort of the rock star of Krakoa.
Yeah.
It especially lines up with the new philosophy of the mutants, which is like Magneto was right, basically.
Yep.
And cool. I also get on board, kids.
I liked his Wolverine. I think he puts a lot of character in Wolverine, and it's fun. The bit with the meat was really enjoyable.
What do you think of Vulcan hanging around?
Wolverine didn't do anything in this episode.
Vulcan is the issue. Vulcan is the third Summers brother, right?
Yes. So he's the one from Deadly Genesis,
right?
Who has a crazy convoluted connection to X-Men history. He was around back when the first team debuted in Giant Size X-Men, and the original X-Men were held captive. He went in on a mission to save them and was thought dead. It was a secret that Charles kept from everyone and then erased the guy's memories when they finally did rescue them. And then he took over the Shi'ar Empire, I think. He had a crazy story, and now he seems like a goofy sitcom character here.
Yes. It's the whole thing. It feels like two issues to me, right?
Yeah.
You have the action sequence. You have the family stuff. I'm not 100% sure how it connects, but Lanil Yu's art is great, as always.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting thing to focus on the insanely convoluted Summers family.
Yes.
So I'm really curious to see where this goes. They've said that each issue is going to be essentially done in one. It doesn't seem like that for this first issue here.
Almost the opposite.
Yeah.
Nothing is done in one.
Right. But I like it. Like, I'm intrigued enough. This is a weird enough take that I'm definitely on board.
I'm very curious to see how Wolverine's going to react to eating medium rare. I mean, when you want a rare steak and then someone gives you medium rare,
right?
I would think you claw them to death, but we got to wait till the next issue to find out.
Yeah, God, think of the story arc we're going to have here.
But this is great writing. I mean, talking about steaks... Great.
That's what you focused on.
Yeah.
Well, that's the only thing that happened.
That was you liking
the only thing that happened.
It was a bunch of shitty characters running into each other, and then we got the steak bit.
You're a hater.
Yeah.
And you hate Wolverine.
No,
here's an interesting question. Why? I think it's interesting. Wolverine lives in the Summers household.
Yes, that is weird.
That's fucked up.
That's weird.
They're having a little bit of a throuple going on.
Do you think they're going to get...
I think it's a throuple.
So it's like...
No, because it's
like
not Wolverine. It's some egg-made Wolverine, so like they can control him.
Get over it. What are you talking? This is like a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are the characters.
Yeah.
No, that's not real Wolverine.
That is real Wolverine.
Real Wolverine.
Right. I'm sorry. Real Wolverine died in the sun. Wolverine is dead forever. I think we can all agree on that.
Does that make you feel better? Real Wolverine is Hugh Jackman, and he's in a musical.
Yeah.
He's doing great. How do you like that?
I love how tall he is.
Would you rather have Egg Wolverine or sing in No Claws Wolverine?
Oh, man, that hurts.
Do you think his claws are made out of X?
I guess X-23 is all I got.
Yeah, that's it. Anyway, X-Men number one, pick it up. Let's move on to a DC comic. Superman Smashes the Klan, number one. This is by Gene Luen Yang and art by Guri Hiru. I'm going to just say this up front. This is my issue of the week.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Yes, dude. Yes. This is the type of issue we need right now.
Oh, my God.
Hey, guys, in case you don't know, Nazis are bad. Racism, bad.
Agreed. I also think...
Thank you for laying that out up front.
Well, apparently it needs to be said because fucking... all over the news, people are taking up tiki torches and like, who are you people?
What, did you just watch the news from 2016?
Yep.
Great.
Yep.
That's not news. That's
I
old.
Put it on a 3-year delay, so it doesn't get too
it's
bad.
It's actually better for him. Yeah. I will say, on Pete's tip there, I think this confronts racism in a very direct way, especially with the art being so like fun and cartoony for them to be to really focus on this in an aggressive, how everyone is sort of being themselves. There's like racial slurs, a bunch of racial slurs in here. It really caught me off guard, and I really thought the issue was
so
great.
To give you the lay of the land, it's an oversized issue. It's about 80 pages. It's set in the 1930s, I want to say, focusing on a Superman who can't really fly yet. He can only run.
I think it's after World War II.
Is it after World War II?
In the 30s, Nazis were sort of like pretty on the side. Everyone wasn't like, Nazis, they're bad. They were like, Nazis. Right. What are they?
Yes, that's true. Regardless, it's based on a old Superman movie serial, an animated Superman movie serial, which is where they're pulling the story from. So it's crazy that this thing that existed way back, not 100 years ago, but definitely almost a century ago, is now coming back. It feels as relevant today. But I think the way that they've painted it, to your point, it feels very relevant. It feels very necessary. And it's shocking, given that most of the time DC and Marvel will have, to your point, Pete, and we've talked about this with like the Captain America thing, it's, oh, it's Hydra. It's not Nazis, it's Hydra. Here, it's like straight up, it's the Klan, and Superman is fighting the Klan. They hate a Chinese-American family that has moved into Metropolis, into the suburbs. They also hate several African-Americans who are living there as well. It's a complicated subject that is dealt with also through the lens of a kid who is raised in hate but is a Superman fan and has to deal with that. Great.
And the other Absolutely side of the story great. That I thought really was woven in seamlessly, and I think we'll come to a head in the next issue, is Superman encountering Kryptonite for the first time and sort of realizing we get to hear his origin as sort of a foreigner who came to Earth. And I feel like that's going to really tie into the themes really nicely.
That's great. This is so good. Even if it costs a little bit more money, I cannot recommend this highly enough.
Yeah, this was a great read.
Moving on to a horror read from Boom Studios, Something is Killing the Children 2. The first issue was a sensation, sold out all over the place. It was about a something killing the children in
a
town.
We don't know what. Sounds bad.
A weird lady comes into town. She seems like a demon slayer. That's where we left off the last issue. We pick up here with a little bit of the hype calmed down. How'd you feel about this issue?
I like it. I want to know what's killing the children.
It's
pretty
something.
Badly.
It's something.
Something.
I want more information.
Well,
do you think they're going to change the title to what the answer is eventually?
Ooh. Yeah.
Like,
vampires.
Vampires are killing the children?
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah. No, but they're going to keep it very, you're not going to know the whole series.
Oh, nice. I think the characters are great, the mystery's nice, and it feels like we're getting just enough drip to keep you in.
Yeah. It's the sort of thing that I think James Tynion and company have set up, that it is really just the tip of the iceberg. Like, it's very clear that
icebergs are killing the children.
Is that what it is? It's all Titanic situation.
Exactly. That iceberg got the ship and it got hungry for more.
Oh shit. It's back. Yeah. Iceberg's revenge. What was I saying?
Nothing.
Really nothing. Anyway, this book is
tip
good.
Of the iceberg is all I remember.
Oh, tip of the iceberg. Anyway, good book. Definitely pick it up.
Characters coming out.
I think it does a good job of...
You guys, this is an SNL audition, right?
Yeah. A little late. They have sort of just put their cast together.
I got some racist material I could do on our podcast. Well,
please, don't you ever do racist material on this podcast.
I ever do, you can smash me just like Superman smashing the Klan.
I thank you for that invitation.
Risky permission to give.
Heard it. You're the witness.
Like a lot of...
We're in the trial, man.
Whenever you go on your killing spree, witnesses... I already know I'm going to be a witness. A lot of television shows, they definitely want to audio record their auditions.
Of course.
I just think that, like, even though we're kind of dying to know what's going on, I think they do a good job of walking the line.
Yeah, what I was going to say about Tips of the Iceberg is that it seems like they have an arc. It's going to take place in this town, but there's a lot more going around in the world. So it feels like the sort of book that's just going to widen out and get bigger and more ambitious as it goes, which is very exciting. Moving on to an Image comic book, Trees, Three Fates, number 2. We talked about this first issue. Great spinoff mystery from the Trees series by Warren Ellis. In here, there's a small town mystery, a murder. It gets a little more complicated. This issue, what'd you think about it?
I like this as well. Then we drop into like a pretty strong philosophy lesson in the back end of this title, which I really was down with that.
Yeah, I love the second half in particular. Yeah. Sorry, Pete. Oh,
Jean-Paul Sartre?
Piece of shit.
The author of No Exit, a play.
Yeah, oh, thanks.
Very similar to No Eggs, which is an anti-X-Men track.
Yay! Great. So I just think that, like...
Hey, Pete, I just want to thank you for playing along.
Yeah, no problem. I think that it's such a weird concept, these giant trees, but, like, they're doing such a good job of giving us mystery around what's going on that it's not driving me crazy why they're there.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to find out. They're just there.
Yeah. Moving on to another Marvel comic book, Absolute Carnage number 4. It is coming down to it. This is, I was surprised to find out, actually, the penultimate issue of the book. For some reason in my head, there was at least 6 of them. There's not. Carnage is fighting Venom for everything, for basically the entire world. It's all come down to this. Pete, you seem pretty excited.
Dude, this is phenomenal. Venom, like... took on Hulk. Like, this is just, it's so insane, but it's also, there's a very interesting story and there's a lot of heart to this. The art is really over the top and a lot of fun. The stakes are super high. This is a really fun
And you know how into your stakes you are.
Yeah, they're super high and medium rare. Just like you want to. I've been loving this crossover. This crossover, I think, has done, this issue included, but across the board, they've done a smart thing of the tie-ins are written by the authors of the actual comics. The Absolute Carnage Immortal Hulk issue from, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago was so good. It was all took place inside Hulk's brain once Venom was sort of wrapped around him, and it was amazing. It pushed the Immortal Hulk storyline forward while also being part of the tie-in. Really well done. So this, just as an event, I think, has been really well played out and smartly done, and I think this issue is setting up for a nice confrontation.
Oh, man. Yeah,
one of my favorite things about this is the relationship between Venom and Spider-Man, or rather Eddie Brock and Peter Parker. Yeah. It's very complicated. They have a lot of history behind it, and I like the fact that they're not forgetting that. There's a moment in here where Eddie turns to Peter and is like, please, whatever we have meant to each other, let me do this thing. And Peter's like, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take care of these kids. I'll keep them safe.
Again, so sorry I tried to kill you so many times. And tried to eat your face.
I think I tried to eat your grandma. Was it your grandma? She looks like your grandma.
I tried to eat so many. I've licked so many of your friends' faces as I was threatening to eat them with my giant teeth. I wish we had more crossovers around the suits that the different superheroes wear.
Yeah, that's true. Like Captain America's suit. What does it get up to when he's not wearing it?
Exactly. Why are we focusing so much on the spider suits?
Yeah.
Let's have other suits fight.
I'll tell you what, that's what's happening in Iron Man right now.
Yeah, think of that. Armor Wars.
Oh, boy. All right. Moving on to Archie 708. This is about to wrap up the Archie and Sabrina storyline. They've been dating in the town of Riverdale. I've really been enjoying this. I don't want it to end. They're great. Archie and Sabrina are great together.
I can't believe how much I'm enjoying this.
I love it too, and it's funny because most of every issue is just them like laying on a blanket.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I love hanging out with them. It's such like I'm in the relationship.
It's such a weird structure for this comic because they do a good job of making sure everybody could jump on board, but that means like a good quarter to half of every issue is them recapping what previously has happened in the issue. But to your point, it's just like, oh, that's nice.
It's like, oh, last issue, Archie and Sabrina were on a bed, and this time they're on a blanket in the woods. And it's like, ooh, burgers. Where are they going to go next? They're going to kiss just a little and then run?
Yeah, maybe they'll get some dumplings or something.
Something casual.
The art is fantastic. They do a great job of like kind of dealing with this relationship in a way that's very kind of true to the characters we know and love. And as much as there is action, it's not just them laying on a blanket, but it is sweet. So it's I think this comic is well done.
It's bringing in some elements of the TV show Riverdale in a nice way. And
Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Yeah, 100%.
Moving on to a Dark Horse comic book coming out October 23rd, Count Crawley number 1.
No spoilers, bro.
This is an interesting book. I did not know what to expect here, but the short version, the pitch of it is, it's about a newscaster ends up in a little bit of trouble. She ends up hosting a horror TV show. And I think you could kind of figure out where things go in this comic from there.
Yeah, shit gets real.
Yeah, shit does get real. The art in particular I like quite a bit. It reminded me of Mad Magazine in a certain way, which I enjoyed. And I was very interested to see where it went, particularly at the end of the issue. How'd you feel about the rest of it?
This comic depicts having a drinking problem very intensely.
Yeah,
she's,
but it's kind of pro.
Pro drinking? Yeah. Having a drinking problem?
Like as a superpower?
Yeah.
I mean, it does get her where she needs to go, yeah, I guess, technically. Yeah. But that I thought was like laid on a little unrealistically in a lot of ways. But I do, by the time she gets to this show, it sort of has like an Elvira vibe to it by the end. And I thought that was where it really picked up. And I'm curious where what happens next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely is one of those comic books that sets up the concept in the very last page. So great art. Good start. Curious to see where it goes.
Agreed.
Next one. This is from DC Comics. This one was very surprising to me. Tales from the Dark Multiverse Nightfall #1. I didn't know what to expect of this. I sort of expected it to just be like kind of a what-if type comic book. And in a certain sense, it is. But it is as fucked up as you'd imagine for the Dark Multiverse type. But it also very strongly teases something that they've kind of danced around for a while, that DC is leaning into yet another crisis is coming. And this is actually the kickoff of that in a certain way.
This is fucking scary, man. I this comic bothered me.
Really?
Bothered you?
Yeah, just because of like how they depicted Batman and what happened. It was fucking terrifying.
So the story is that this is set in a world where Batman was killed by... like Azrael. Yeah. And then Azrael.
The cat from Smurfs.
Yes, exactly. So it's a little twist.
This is kind of
multiverse.
Like Futurama.
Gargamel was trying to eat him or turn him into gold, one of the two, but Azrael killed him.
Yeah, but it's kind of like Futurama here, where you just got like a bunch of, he's just his head, basically.
I would argue it's not much like Futurama.
it's kind of the head in the jar, the talking
like
head in the jar.
We really misdiagnosed
okay,
this
you can do Smurf references.
What I think is most interesting about what Scott Snyder and company have set up with the Dark Multiverse that does make it different from a what if, kind of, I guess, is that these are stories that fail, ultimately. Like, it's not just what if Azrael won Nightfall and then we see what happens. It's that ultimately these Earths fall into disrepair. They should just never have happened. So they're not just the dark mirror of a story. They're where everything goes wrong.
Right.
And I think they execute that really nicely over the course of the issue.
Yeah, it's good. It reminds me of a crossover through the annuals way back in the 90s, I think. Armageddon?
Yeah, 2001.
2001, or? Yeah. And where you got to see just the annual, we're so far past that now.
Bruce Willis movie now? I'm not getting your reference.
No, it was a series, it was a crossover event through the annuals of DC Comics, and it featured an Elseworld story featuring the hero, and some of them ended well, a lot of them ended really poorly, and it was really great. This feels a lot like that. Well done. Horrifying. Bruce Wayne's Futurama take is not great.
Very scary.
Yeah, so if you like Futurama or you like Batman, check out this issue. Moving on to another, I want to say, Image comic book, marked #1. Yes, this is Image because it's from Shadowline. This is about a world where tattoos do magic.
Tattoos do magic.
You mean our world?
Oh, shit.
Dude, if tattoos gave you magic, I would get tatted.
They give you magic look and vibe.
Yeah. Just like smoking, which is also similar.
Very cool.
Very cool.
How many tattoos do you have?
None.
Alex?
None. How about you?
Just one.
Ooh, do you?
I do, yeah.
Really? Yeah. Where and what is it?
I won't tell you, but you have never seen it, right?
No.
Well, then I guess you have a couple.
It's on your butt.
That's maybe the only thing you haven't seen?
I've seen everything else.
Oh, man. That's so weird.
I think this is cool.
You got a butt tattoo?
No, I don't have a butt tattoo.
What is it?
But I'm not telling.
Does it say I'm a classically trained actor?
Yes,
anchor?
It's all.
You got it spelled wrong.
I messed up.
Yeah.
I was drunk when I got it.
It's a picture of an anchor. Because I was like, you're a sailor.
Anchor.
You're a sailor, right?
This is fun. It's sort of like, it's a little hard to tell what's going on at different points, but I like the commitment to the universe that they establish, and it's really fleshed out a bit.
The first half of the issue, and this happens sometimes, with the Shadowline books, is I was like, oh, is there a whole series before this that they're recapping? I'm not 100% sure. Maybe there was. I probably should have looked it up before we taped this. But once they get past that, once they get past this intense amount of setup, they actually get into the story. They actually get into talking about the character. And I thought that part was pretty neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they did enough of that where I'm excited to see where it goes.
I like the guy who has the magic power of turning the stoplights green.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Super helpful.
Super cool tat.
Yeah. You would probably get one like a tat that would let you skip ahead on the subway line.
Oh, yeah.
Or just like sub club tat.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, that just make you go express, you know.
Back to Marvel Comics for Guardians of the Galaxy number 10. This is slowly wrapping up Donnie Cates' run here. No, Rocket Raccoon is sick. They are making an assault on the Universal Church of Truth. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I want to say. Last issue was real. The original Drax the Destroyer is back, which is kind of crazy. Now there's a lot more of him this issue. How are you feeling about everything?
This is a great issue, man. A ton of action. A lot of stuff happening. It's sad to see Rocket like this, but his suit is badass. So it's very... there are really fun moments. There's intense moments. The art's amazing. This is a great book.
It is really good. The Rocket being sick is so sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get him some.
Well, particularly because it feels like, how is he going to get out of this? I don't know if he is going to get out of this.
Yeah.
Are they actually going to kill Rocket Raccoon?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, or it's not going to last, but it definitely... They have set the stakes high enough with everything that's going on here that it does feel like it's possible, which you don't normally feel with a comic book like
Feed him
that.
Some garbage. Heal him back up.
Oh, is that how raccoons work?
I believe so.
Oh, okay.
The Drax stuff, like, it's interesting to bring back this non-movie take at all. Like, curious to see where that goes.
Yeah.
Breaking away from the movie seems like something most books aren't doing.
But exactly. Yeah. It's taking chances. Boom Studios, Once in Future, number 3. There is an evil King Arthur on the loose in England, and the only one who could stop him is a nervous guy and his grandmother.
There's nothing like a badass grandma, I tell you.
We really love
This is her. A fucking great book.
You love the grandma.
Yes, she's fantastic.
Do you feel like reading this puts pressure on your grandparents to be more badass?
Unfortunately, my grandparents aren't.
They're all.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, was it King Arthur?
Could have been. I don't know.
You don't know?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a fun surprise. Maybe this is like an autobiography.
Oh, man.
You're the nervous guy.
That would make me sad.
This is great. Every issue. This one brings a new slash old character into the fold. I like the fact that they're continuing to flesh out the cast, because a lot of it so far does feel like they're hiding behind stuff and staring at King Arthur.
Yeah.
But it seems like that's all going to change as of next issue. Great book.
It's tailor-made to be a movie, this.
Absolutely.
The art's so phenomenal. Right there.
The art's great.
It's the action, the storytelling. It's just a lot of fun.
It feels like a Mark Miller book in the way that it's so tailor-made to be a movie, and it's not from him, which makes me like it even more.
Next one to talk about, also out October 23rd from Dark Horse Comics, Tommy Gunn Wizards number 3. We love the first two issues of this one. I believe we talked about it one of the times you weren't here.
Yeah, because I hadn't read this.
Oh, yeah. Had you read the first two?
No.
Ooh, okay. So for those of you who hadn't read it, the concept is it's the Untouchables, but with magic. That's basically it, which is awesome.
It's great.
Oh, my God. So such a good twist on it. This issue ramps it up to insane levels, everything that's going on. What was your take on it since you're talking about it?
I didn't realize it was a third issue until I started reading it. I was like, wow, they're being so aggressive with the storytelling here, like really making you catch up to what they're doing. I was like, oh, wait, no, I clearly missed some issues here. But really great. Like all the characters from the gangster history are there, and the magic is really well done and well drawn. The character, all the different sort of factions coming together, it's great.
Yeah, Pete, how are you feeling about this?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of fun. The magic stuff really just amps it up, and it's kind of a fun take. I haven't got sick of this idea yet, so
yeah.
I think it's just a great job, and the art is really doing such a good job of keeping us in this kind of world.
The character designs is great, are great. The mythology is great. I was so bummed to find out the next issue is the last issue of this.
Oh, what?
Yeah, that's what they say at the end. To be concluded, I hope they figure out more ways to visit this world because it is so unique and so fun. But at the same time, I'm glad that they're finding a natural ending for
it.
Do
you think they're going to finally get Al Capone with mail fraud?
Yeah, I think after all the magic and giant frogs and everything, it's going to be like, nope, mail fraud.
Nope, shouldn't have mailed that way.
Gotcha, buddy. Last one we're going to talk about from DC Comics. They're back, baby. Metal Men, number one. I got to tell you, not a big fan of Metal Men as characters. How do you guys feel about them, and how do you feel about this issue?
I like the Metal Men, but it has to be told in a sort of a weird way. I think Joe Casey had the characters for a couple years ago. And this, I was sort of like, for the first half of it, was like, oh, I don't know, this feels a little stilted. But I actually like the take here where the scientist has been lying to everyone, basically. And the way the Metal Men come alive is they're just aspects of his emotional sort of spectrum. I thought that was cool. It was an interesting take on it, and one that it sort of takes away the magic of the earlier series, but it did it in a way that makes it a character choice.
Yeah. Pete, how about you?
I was just like, oh man, this is just a way to them to keep talking about heavy metal and the nth metal and that kind of thing. And I was right. And I was like a little sad by that.
You don't like metal. What about tin?
All right.
Gold.
Cool.
What's your favorite metal?
Yeah, what metal do you like the best?
Steel.
Ooh.
Cool answer.
That is a cool answer. And you guys are the coolest listeners. If you'd like to support us, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Come on by, and we will chat with you about comic books. Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and more. Also, you can comment and subscribe on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Spotify, or the app of your choice. And we'll see you at the comic book shop.
Oh, what about Copper?